Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Gary Armley inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Good morning. And good morning to those watching online. It's a wonderful worship this morning. Wonderful. And isn't that wonderful when the presence of the Lord feels so strong? Amen. We get to feel Him too. I just want to give a real quick praise report, which just so exciting for me. Quite a few years back now, this church was very involved with Haiti and did 22 trips to Haiti. So we were quite involved. And with the hurricane coming through, they were targeted. And so they went into prayer, and I was in touch with both Mark and Eddie, and they said, pray. It's looking really gray, but pray. And I was in touch with them last night. It didn't come anywhere near them. So we say, thank you, Lord, because it did go through Haiti, but not where they were. And that's the second time that's happened. And they've learned to stand, and they've learned to pray and command that storm not to come near them. And so pretty exciting to hear that. He says, keep praying for us. So they're on a real journey of learning. And it's quite amazing, really. Well, I want to talk to you. I noticed nothing's up today about sacred design, but I still want to continue that topic a little bit. And the blueprint of wholeness. And so I want to talk this morning a little bit about the Holy Spirit. How many of you feel that you have a really good handle on the Holy Spirit? That you understand who He is and what His purpose in our lives is. All right. I think we're living in a season where the Holy Spirit isn't spoken about very much. I know He is here, but I still know we don't really understand. And when we were talking about the statement Pastor Jay made was, beliefs are the roots of the inner ecosystem. Fruit is what the tree provides or produces. It is the tangible outcome of what has been happening on the inside. Your actions, your habits, and your words are the visible result of your invisible beliefs. Okay, so we know that in the garden, Adam and Eve were created perfect. They lived in a perfect environment in that garden. Outside of the garden was absolute chaos, but in the garden, it was peace, right? Their mandate that they were given was, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But you can eat as much as you want from the tree of life and expand the garden. Reproduce who you are outside of that garden. But keep the enemy out. And we know that they failed. And it took Jesus' sacrifice. We sang about it this morning. It took His sacrifice to restore the position we once had in the garden. It's Jesus' blood that cleanses us. It's Jesus' blood that sets us free. His perfect sacrifice. Right? Romans 5:19 says, one man's disobedience opened the door for all humanity to become sinners. So also one man's obedience opened the door for many to be made perfectly right with God and acceptable to Him. So when we accept Jesus as our Savior, we become acceptable to Him. From that point on, we're able to walk again with the Lord. We're able to commune with Him again. But it comes a little bit at a time. Right? There's the odd person that, you know, they see, they hear. But most of us, it's a journey. And we change our belief systems on that journey. we're to walk with the Lord, but we have to realize we're still in the middle of a transformation process, and we will be until the day we stand before Him. So we need to make our peace with that. This is an ongoing process of being changed. Restoration still happens. And even last Sunday, Pastor Jay shared the chapter from Ephesians 1, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And we need to be praying that over ourselves, Ephesians 1:18, because the eyes of our understanding do need to be opened. When Adam and Eve fell, the eyes of their soul opened and the eyes of their spirit closed. When we get born again, the eyes of our spirit opens, but the eyes of our soul closes through transformation, through change, through letting the Holy Spirit work in us. And so we've been given this incredible gift to walk with Him. And this veil that was on people has been removed. When we accept Jesus, the veil comes off and we begin to see. And I look back over my life and I think so much has changed. And when I sit with the Lord, with the veil gone now, the scriptures open up more and more. And again, it's an ongoing process. We have to understand that our whole purpose here is God wants us to look more and more like Him. And I'll go into that a little bit. This is 2 Corinthians 3, verse 16. And I love this scripture. It's been one of my go-tos. It says, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. This is out of the Passion Translation, and it opens it up even more. Now the Lord, I'm referring to the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's the translation. Now the Lord, I'm referring to the Holy Spirit, and wherever He is Lord, there is freedom. We are being transfigured into His very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. And this glorious transformation or transfiguration comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And so when I ask how many of you understand who the Holy Spirit is, there's a real need for us to understand how He works, how He functions, what He does in our lives. Because most of us, as we move through our day, are unaware of the fact that He's there. True? We just live life and we face our problems and we do what we need to do. But there's someone there called the Holy Spirit who's unemployed and wants to be employed. He wants to be active in our lives. This is an amazing, amazing scripture because it says that we look in a mirror. In one translation, it says, beholding us in a mirror the glory of the Lord. And again, I saw this in one of my devotionals that I did, and I plagiarized word for word because I think it's such a revelation. This is an amazing scripture because what it really is saying, that we are beholding the glory of the Lord, but then discover we're looking in a mirror. In that mirror, we are seeing the work of the Holy Spirit, who is transforming us from glory to glory into the image of Jesus, who is glorified. So we see ourselves in that mirror, starting to look more and more like Jesus. That is neat. Amen. We think we're looking at him, but we're really looking at ourselves. The whole idea of being changed from glory to glory is hard for us to accept and understand. But we sang about it extensively this morning. It's the blood of Jesus that's at work. We truly become like him as time goes on. So the interesting fact about what happens when we get born again, his new nature comes into us. It's all there, right? We become new creations. So you and I are new creations in Christ Jesus. It's inside of us, but our old patterns from the world must be changed. Little by little, as the truth of the word goes in, we start to change. But it's the Holy Spirit who is the one that does the convicting in our lives. And it's crucial that we learn to understand and to hear him. And then the other important part is that we obey him. And that's not always the easy part, because he puts his finger on us in areas where we've been comfortable for a long time. Things we've done the same way for a long time, way we've talked for a long time, maybe been critical for a long time, unforgiving, right? And he starts to, because we've said a prayer somewhere, change me, Lord. And we've gone on with our lives, walked out of church. Oh, yeah, said that prayer, and off we go. But we don't remember what we did, but he does. He says, well, you ask me, and he begins to work. And sometimes it's many ouches. Right? Yeah, many ouches. But little by little. The truth is, no transformation can take place in our lives without the Holy Spirit. And so when we don't know him, and we don't know how he works, and we're not even sure, is he a force? Is he a wind? Is he a fire? What is he? Right? Because that's most people's understanding. Pentecost, he came as a wind and he came as a fire. Okay, he's the Holy Spirit. He's this, ooh, out there person. True. That's how we think of him. Celebrate on Pentecost, because that's what we do on Pentecost Sunday. And then we just kind of don't focus on him. Do you realize the Holy Spirit's been on the earth for 2,000 years or more? Because he was actually there in the beginning. He was there brooding over the waters when the earth, when the world was created, when everything was created, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit was there. He was there when you were getting born again, brooding over you to make you a new creation in Christ. It is the Holy Spirit who resurrected Jesus out of the grave. And it's the Holy Spirit who resurrects you and I out of the grave. We now have resurrection life living within us. And that resurrection life is the Holy Spirit. So how can we use him to bring change if we don't know who he is? Right? So we have this wonderful Holy Spirit who's on the earth. Know a little about him. Jesus walked on the earth for 3.5 years, and we know a lot about him because he was flesh and blood. It was easier to relate. But the Holy Spirit communes with us spirit to spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. In knowing him, our purpose for why we are on earth begins to unfold. Later on, if I get to it, I get to it, but he's the greatest search engine there is. You know, we think of Google and Google Chrome, right? You can find out anything you want. Well, there's one higher than that called the Holy Spirit. He knows exactly who you are called to be. He knows what's in the heart of the Father, in the mind of the Father. And he knows what the Father wants you to become while you're on earth. The people he wants you to influence, the changes that he wants to make in the world through you. And so he searches all that out and he works in our lives to cause us to become what the Father needs for us to be here on the earth. It's really quite amazing, you know, that this wonderful, wonderful third person of the whole, of the Godhead is so intricately involved with you and I. And so it's amazing. We can't develop a relationship with God through our natural understanding. It does not work. We'll make a God in our own image. It has to be through the Holy Spirit and how he reveals the Father to us. Walking with the Holy Spirit requires surrender and obedience. Two words that are really not very, very popular on the earth today. Because everybody does what's right in their own eyes. Right? Everybody is their own boss. Everybody has their own idea of what the truth is. But for us as believers, in order to grow in the things of the Lord and take on more of the character of Jesus, it requires surrender, and we sang it this morning, and it requires obedience to what he asks us to do. And there is no other way, I'm afraid. Because we're made in the image of God, everything about us, our spirit, soul, and body, is perfectly suited for a relationship with the Holy Spirit. We're meant to enjoy the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I remember Dorman sharing how he was in his truck driving, and all of a sudden the presence of the Lord just flooded his cab and he started crying. You know, the Holy Spirit will let us feel him all around us. Sometimes we feel like a warm rain falls on us, you know, and we all just, and I guess there's nothing wrong with it. I'm just trying to teach you something here. We know it's God. And most times we put that emphasis on Jesus, but it's really the Spirit of God with us, the Spirit of Jesus with us, that we're sensing coming into our space, that we can feel him. Paul writes in Ephesians 3:19 that we would know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled up with all the fullness of God. Isn't it amazing that you and I are called to be filled up with all the fullness of God? Really, how many of us ever stop to say, Lord, fill me up to your fullness today? Everything you want today, I need your fullness in me. I don't. When I was preparing this, I thought, Lord, I don't. I ask for you to fill me in the morning, but to the level of the fullness of God, because that's what he wants to do. He wants to fill us up so we're full of him. This God who fills the galaxies, who's constantly still creating, who created mankind, every animal on the earth. This God wants to dwell in us and fill us up so we are filled to overflowing with him. But do we ever really draw on that? Do I ever really draw on that? I'm trying to, as I get older, I'd like to give him a good account of what I've done with all this incredible gift that he's given us. Because these are all gifts we've been given. And, you know, if we were parents on Christmas Day and we put a bunch of gifts under the Christmas tree and the kids didn't open them, we wouldn't be very happy. True? So there's gifts for us that we need to open so that we can impact the world around us. It's not just for us. It's so that we can change the world all around us. This God is an extravagant God. The Holy Spirit is an extravagant spirit. In the Amplified, it says this scripture this way, and that you may come to know practically through personal experience the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled up through your whole being to all the fullness of God, so that you may be have the richest experience of God's presence in your life, completely filled and flooded with God Himself. That's our portion, that we would know that we can be completely filled and flooded with God Himself. Jesus began to reveal the Holy Spirit to the disciples when he knew he was getting near the end of his walk on the earth. And it says in John 14, 16 to 17, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. For he dwells with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit was sent to us as an answer to Jesus' prayer. Jesus is letting them know that not only will he be with them, he will be in them. They would become the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so sometimes we'll say, you know, the building is the church. No, then we say, no, but it's not. The people are the church. Because he indwells us, and corporately we make up the body of Christ, the building of God. We're the church. After 3.5 years, Jesus told them that he was going to leave. Now, if you've watched The Chosen at all, you can see the sadness in them when he keeps saying he's going. Because they've walked with him. They've been there when he's healed the sick. They've been there when he's tired. They've been there when he's set the captives free. I mean, can you imagine how their life changed when he came into their lives, from lowly fishermen to walking with the creator of the universe? Like, really? You know what it feels like when you get a prophetic word or you get prayer and all of a sudden it feels like God has just invaded your space? Well, they were invaded. Their space was invaded by Jesus for 3 years. And so when he starts telling them that it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. They didn't understand any of this. They watched the Holy Spirit come down on Jesus at his baptism. And I would imagine they understood that it was the Holy Spirit moving through Jesus as he healed the sick. And then as he placed his anointing on the 12 and then the 70 to go out and do the miracles that Jesus did. But now he's saying he's going to go away. Now he's telling them, but someone called the helper's coming. And it's to your advantage. An advantage is profitable. A profit is an increase from an investment. So it's profitable for you that I go away. It's going to be better for you. But they're not getting it at this point. They had spent 3 years with him. And they wouldn't, once he left, they wouldn't understand what he really meant until that morning in the upper room when the Holy Spirit came and fell on them and then filled them and flooded them. Jesus told his disciples about the one who was coming to be their helper, their comforter, their advocate, everything they would need, the one that would assist them. He says, I will ask, John 14, 16 and 17, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. The word another means another, but exactly the same. In the Spirit Life Bible, it gives this translation. One besides me, and in addition to me, but one just like me. He will do in my absence what I would do if I were physically present with you. So this is what Jesus is telling the disciples. But this Holy Spirit has to still come. And this Holy Spirit has been given to us. This one who is just like the Father, who is just like Jesus, exactly the same, who ministers just like Jesus did, now dwells within you and I to cause us to become people who will walk just as Jesus did. Amen? It won't happen without the help of the Holy Spirit. You know, when they had to go out after they were threatened and they wanted to go out again, they were told not to talk in Jesus' name anymore. What did they do? They go to an upper room and they pray. They stormed heaven and they asked for boldness to go and do more. That Holy Spirit came into them and flooded them with boldness. What they needed, he gave them. When they needed to do miracles, he did it through them. And so we can't have this just, oh, well, he's a force or he's a fire or he's wind. No, he's the third person of the Trinity who dwells in us. He abides with you and will be in you. God the Father is in the Holy Spirit. God on earth is God on earth. He indwells us. So the Father's in heaven. It says clearly in the scriptures, Jesus is sitting at his right hand. And it's the Holy Spirit that lives in us. Right? But do you consciously know that? That it's actually the Holy Spirit who lives in us. The other one, just like the others, the one who's the comforter, the helper, the exhorter, the teacher, he indwells us. So when we say we've got fruit on our trees, as we've heard for the last month, right? We have a belief system that's not right. We have fruit on our tree that's not good. We may be dealing with competitiveness, jealousy, anger, frustration, you know, stuff that's still in our lives, even though we're born again, this stuff God is working at to get it out of us. But it's the Holy Spirit that at a certain time points out an area and says, that needs to change. Anger needs to become peace. Discouragement needs to become hope. Sadness needs to become joy. Amen? All of these things that are in our impatience needs to become long-suffering, the fruit of the Spirit. And he works on us and begins to point it out to us. And how does he do this? Through life's difficult circumstances. Not that he brings, but he works in those circumstances. when we're going through the hard times. But if you're like me, when you're in the middle of the hard times, it's not necessarily that my thoughts go, oh, God is trying to work something in my life. I'm getting there, but it would be easier for me to call Mary and talk to Mary about my difficulties, or talk to Jack about my difficulties, instead of going into my secret place and sitting down and saying, God, what are you after here? I'm learning to. In this season that I'm in, because I'm more isolated, I'm learning to go and figure out, what are you trying to form in my life right now? What are you doing? What is it that you are doing in my life right now that I will have to pour out when I come out of this season? And it's not easy. But I recognize He is working in many, many areas right now in my life. Many areas. And when I first became a pastor, you know, the excitement of it all. I was going to be a pastor. And that's God's call on my life. But then, when I realized, oh, I have to go tell my family that I am going in to become a minister. How is this going to work? Let me tell you, it didn't work well. Because my family's Roman Catholic. Well, they were. And didn't go well. My parents looked at me in shock. They couldn't receive it. Number one, I was a woman. Number two, what am I thinking? And I remember the Holy Spirit prepared me on our way there. We drove there, Jack and I, and He says, you tell them that no matter what happens, you love them always, and you pray they'll love you. And obviously, God worked it all out. But, you know, that was one side of the family. Then there was Jack's side of the family. And then there was friends who couldn't digest that and walked away. Lost quite a few friends. And the cost was high. And so God puts us in the middle of circumstances that are difficult. And He works on us to become loving, kind, gracious, and get out of self-pity sometimes. That's a big one. So He changes us. Pastor Rod talked a few weeks ago about becoming adopted sons and daughters of the King and not acting like orphans. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, Romans 8:14-17, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. There's suffering around it. We're foolish if we think there won't be. And North America is not good about suffering. We're not. We're just, oh, everything's nice and everything's got to be perfect. No, the world all around us is suffering, and I'm not talking about the suffering that's going on in Jamaica. That's horrible. But I am talking about suffering when we make a stance for something because the Holy Spirit has spoken to us, and we do it graciously, but we have to pull out of a situation that is not a healthy one, or out of things that we like to do that is no longer pleasing to the Holy Spirit. I'll give you an example, and this is not to offend anyone, but he has been nailing me to the wall on this one. You know, you put on a nice movie, and the next thing you know, it's full of F words. And then there's sex scenes. And it isn't just a little bit anymore. Anything goes now. And so the Holy Spirit's sitting there watching this with me. And I hear him, this is offensive. And I feel him withdrawing. And so what do I have to do? Just ignore it? Or do I go click? And lately, there's a lot of click. And so I'm going back to the old movies. I just look up what's available because he's much more important than anything I can watch on that TV screen or pick up on my phone. He's everything. And does it hurt? Sometimes Jack gets upset. He doesn't have the same filter I have. But, you know, most times we can do it together. And if it's a war movie and it's got a lot of yuck in it, I just disappear. We don't watch baseball and sports, Pastor Rod. It would be a lot simpler. Seriously. Because, you know, it's nice to watch something in the evening, but anyway. So it can hurt. But we're ears of God. And we're joint ears with him, which is amazing. Not only does he forgive us, extends mercy to us, extends grace to us, extend blessings and promises to us, but he gives himself to us. Could we ever get a better gift than to be given the Holy Spirit? So in the difficult circumstances, God develops his character in us. Galatians 5:22, and this is out of the Amplified. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, see, it's all there if you look. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit working in us. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which his presence within accomplishes, is love, joy, which is gladness, peace, patience, and even temper, forbearance. He develops kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness. Gentleness is meekness and humility. So he gets rid of our pride. And sometimes pride goes before the fall, you know, in order to form humility in us. Self-control or self-restraint. And it's interesting that these are called one fruit. You ever notice that? Not nine fruits, it's one fruit. And so when the Holy Spirit is working in our lives, say on patience, to make us more patient. At the same time, he's working on all the other fruit in our lives. It isn't just one thing he develops. As we yield to him, he transforms us. So he's trying to put new fruit on the tree of salvation in our lives. But it requires the work of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Peter 1:3 says, everything we could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited in us by his divine power. So it's all there. So for all this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing him who has called us by name and invited us to come to him through a glorious manifestation of his goodness. As a result of this, he has given you magnificent promises that are beyond all price, so that through the power of these tremendous promises, we can experience partnership with his divine nature by which you have escaped the corrupt desires that are in the world. And so he's given us this divine nature. It's already inside of us. We, with the Holy Spirit's help, start to bring up our true nature. And it takes time. But nevertheless, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. Well, I think I'm going to close with that. This is what I wrote. It's interesting that we think the computer is the greatest search engine in the world. Yet it's not. It's the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit who created the universe. The greatest reservoir of information and insight is in the mind of Christ. Yet Scripture states that we have the mind of Christ. It is the Holy Spirit who searches the Father's mind, looking for specific thoughts for you and I that will conform us more closely to the likeness of Jesus. He'll use the word, a prophetic word, the line of a song, a child, our spouse, someone close to us that we can hear to help transform us. It also boils down to you and I being willing to surrender and listen and obey his voice. I don't think there's anything more glorious than to be filled with the Holy Spirit and walk as Jesus did and transform the world, our space that we live in. He's made all that available. The Holy Spirit really is real. He really is. And when you were born again, he came into your life. But then there's more. Then there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which they received on Pentecost morning, which you and I need, because without that baptism, to walk out and to begin to evangelize or to witness to somebody or to pray for someone is very difficult in our own strength. But with the Holy Spirit nudging us from the inside, because he's filled us up with his dunamis power, it becomes a whole different thing. We're compelled to do it. We find ourselves in front of somebody all of a sudden. We don't even know how we got there. That's what the Holy Spirit does. So this morning, if you're here and you have never had prayer for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, at the end of the service, I just want to encourage you, don't leave without getting prayer. Pastor Rod's in here, Pastor Jay, myself, and Bruce and Jeannie and Mary. There's a whole bunch of us in here that can pray for you, that you get filled up, because you need the Holy Spirit to see precious fruit for the Lord come on our trees. Amen? Amen. So, Father, I just thank you. Holy Spirit, there's so much to say about you. We could preach for a year on you and we wouldn't hardly scrape the surface. But Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would touch every life in here this morning. Touch our lives, Lord. Holy Spirit, especially in the days ahead, Lord, as we're watching incredible change in the world all around us, even here in Canada. Holy Spirit, we need to know how to walk. We need to know how to stay in a place of peace and rest. We need to know how to extend that peace to others around us. We need to feel your heart for the broken all around us and what you want done. So Holy Spirit, fill us. Teach us how to hear you and sense you when you walk in the room. Teach us when you're speaking to us through the word, as you teach us truth. Holy Spirit, You are the helper. You are the comforter. You're the guide. You're the strengthener. You're the equipper. You're all those things. And Holy Spirit, you want everyone to be able to call on you in whatever capacity it is needed. And so, Holy Spirit, touch every life in this room. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.